Well, good morning, Crossways Church. It's a joy to be with you guys again. Just unfortunately, it's through the Zoom platform. We can't be together in person, but yeah, really trusting that yeah, there'll be no distance in the spirit, and that God will work powerfully through this medium and really minister into your hearts today. Even as I'm preparing or doing this pre-recorded message, I'm thinking of particular people that I know within the congregation there at Crossways, and trusting that God would minister into every single heart, and that the Spirit would just make the message applicable into each one of your situations and each one of your lives. So thank you again to the leadership team for entrusting this time to me to be able to share this word. I'm going to be ministering over the next couple of weeks and the series on A Great Awakening. And I'm really excited about what is on my heart and trust that you'll be blessed, and that as a result of what happens over these next couple of weeks, that God would be stirring within your hearts and awakening some of his dreams and his purposes on the inside of you. We've been living in a crazy time, haven't we, in the world over the last few months, and a really unprecedented time. Never been a time like it in the past, and it's really just been, amazing how quickly things have shifted and turned. It, just reminds us how, much in so much change that's happening around us, how we've got to have our hope fixed in a God that never changes. Same God yesterday, same God today, and the same God forever. And there's such a hope and a security that comes when we place our trust and our hope in an unchanging God. I want to encourage you, just wherever you're listening to this message on the Sunday morning, during your living room or around a dining room table or around a pool somewhere, wherever it might be, that that you just allow your hearts to be still and allow God to speak into your hearts, and to that this would not just be another message, but this would be something where God would be able to speak to your hearts. He'd be able to ignite something on the inside. He'd be able to stir you, and he'd be able to move you. And so allow God to speak into your life specifically. God's word is always so personal. I've prepared, and there's things that he's laid on my heart, but he's a personal God, and he's wanting to minister into each one of your lives, into each one of your situations, so that he can really unlock the purpose and the plan for which he's created your life. God is so, so purposeful and so intentional, and he is, he's searching, really. It speaks about in the scriptures that his eyes are searching to and fro across this earth, looking to find a man or woman whose heart is fully his, that he can show himself strong on our behalf. And so he's going to be doing that. And just put up your hand today. Say, I'm available, God. Don't pass me by. Here I am. Send me. Find me in that place. Find me available. Find me in a place where you can speak to me and you can use me. So yeah, as we get into today's message, entitled A Great Awakening, my key scripture that we're going to use today is out of the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, comes out of chapter 3 and from verse 8 to 13. And the key thought in those scriptures, we'll read verse 8 to 13 in a moment, but the key thought out of those scriptures really that I wanted to highlight today was verse 10, which speaks about the fact that Paul writes and he says that that the manifold wisdom of God is going to be manifested through the church and revealed to the rulers and principalities in the heavenly places. And so this thought around the manifold wisdom of God, where God's wanting to, his manifold wisdom speaks about his multifaceted, multi-layered, multicolored wisdom. Which God is, he's got so many, his wisdom knows no bounds. There is so much diversity in the heart of God, so many different ways in which he's wanting to display his splendor, display his goodness, display who he is. And there's only one way that he displays who he is, really, and that's through his people. Obviously, we know he uses creation, and he displays who he is through a sunset and through a beautiful sunrise and through the beauty of this beautiful country that we live in so many ways. But ultimately, he's really looking to display his heart and his wonder through his people. And so I want to encourage you that God's set you up for such a time as this. You've been created for such a time as this. Your life is, you're on the earth at the moment to fulfill a specific assignment that God has in his heart. So I'm going to now share my screen. Screen share was what I was trying to say there. So let's go across to the screen share here. And we are going to go into presenting mode. And so there we go. So a great awakening. There's a quote that I want to read by a lady by the name of Marianne Williamson. And it says the following. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel secure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So in Ephesians 3, 8 to 13, I said we'd read it together. So let's do that now. And it says the following. It says, to me, and this is Paul writing, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And I've got a clip here that I just wanted to play. And because as we're speaking about the multifaceted wisdom of God, you know, God is really wanting us as his people to go into every sphere of society and to make a difference, to carry his spirit. And I'm going to just share a clip because here is our Chief Justice, Mokgweng Mokgweng. This is in 2019, May, just over a year ago. And just listen to him and just watch this short minute and a half clip with me now.
If you might be seated for a while. It is time for prayer or meditation. But I just thought we needed to be purposeful in embarking on this exercise. I never used to know what to meditate about, what to pray about. So here is a guideline. Our country has challenges. Meditate about the solutions to corruption, to crime, to anything of concern that you have. And for those of us who can pray, pray for solutions. Pray for a better vision, for guidance. Those who are here, those who are at home hearing, let us be very deliberate and intentional about this exercise. It's not a meaningless ritual. If you want to do it sitting, do so. If you want to be standing or in any other position, do so. But it will be for 3 minutes. It's not just a question of start and you don't know when to end. It will be for 3 minutes. May we do so now in whatever position you are comfortable with.
All right, so the reason I shared that clip is I just wanted to, just give us an understanding. You know, when God's talking about his multifaceted wisdom that he's wanting to display through the church at this time, you know, I think so often, it's so easy to get a sort of a limited understanding of what that means, or we look at it through a typical lens. And God is really wanting his church to display the glory of God in every sphere of society, in every part of us, the social, political structures of our country, in the economy, in the arts and the media, in business, in every aspect, through the schools, through the university campuses. And, the devil that really doesn't mind it. And he's really the architect behind, well, he's not an architect as such, because he's just really a counterfeit. He just takes what God has always designed for good, and he just tries to pervert it. But the enemy doesn't mind organized religion. He enjoys it when we're tamed and docile. And what he really fears is an army that is starting to arise filled with the Spirit of God. That's what the enemy fears. He fears a group of people that are filled with the fire of God, filled with the vision that is birthed out of the Spirit of God. And, the enemy can't stop that. And, it's the spirit of, it's like a spirit-filled army that's invading every part of culture and saturating it with the fragrance and the presence of our King. And, that day of Pentecost, and we just recently, about a month or so ago, went through that, that feast of Pentecost, as we celebrated it. And really, we're not meant to be celebrating the feast of Pentecost as a historical thing that took place. We are to remember, but we are to daily be in a place where we're allowing the Spirit of God to fill us afresh and to lead us. The Holy Spirit is so longing for us to be clothed with everything that God has won for us in Jesus Christ. He's so longing to partner with us on the earth, to see the mandate and the assignment of God fulfilled, to see nations won back, to see corruption overturned, to see division in families restored, to see everything that the enemy has meant for harm turn to good. And so the lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring. You know, Jesus, when he came to the earth, he came as the lamb. He came to sacrifice his life, to give his life for us. But he's coming back as the lion. And the lion is starting to roar. And it's not that he's not been roaring. It's just that he is arousing his church out of a place of slumber to start to roar again. You know, I think it's so easy at this time to live as though we're in a time of peace. And just going to go out of here, so you just got me there. It's so easy to live like we're in a time of peace when actually we're in a time of war. And that's the reality, is we're living in a time of war. Our battle is never against flesh and blood. It's always against principalities and powers. The enemy has only one strategy and one plan, and that is to rob, kill, and destroy. And we see this virus that is across the earth, and obviously, that's not from God. That's out of the pit of hell. But let me tell you, God is using it to give his people a chance to be still, to know that he is God, to allow his Spirit to arouse our hearts, awaken our spirits, to see what it is that God is seeing at this time, and to be available, to be awakened into his purpose and his calling. God has an assignment, and he's wanting to deploy his troops into battle at this time. And it's not meant to be a, you know, a heavy thing, but it's meant to be a joyous thing. We were not, you know, we weren't made for the harbor in life. You and I were made for the open seas. We were made, we were been anointed by Christ to tackle difficult things, to stand in the gap for those who cannot stand in the gap for themselves, to be the solution where there are problems on the earth. And God's anointing is there to give us the wisdom to deal with those situations and to see those, you know, every place really on the planet turned into what the Garden of Eden was always meant to look like. And there was a place of fellowship with God, a place of intimacy. You know, the three things that were actually lost and stolen in the Garden of Eden was intimacy with God, the purpose for which mankind was created, and third, the provision for that purpose. And if you have a, so if you think of that, number one, intimacy with God, number two, the purpose for which God has created our lives, and number three, God's provision to enable us to fulfill his purpose. And because of a world that's been living largely without God, and you know, all of us were in that place at some stage. You know, we were, it speaks about so clearly in the scriptures that we were in this world with without God, without hope, strangers to the covenants of promise, and God has brought us near through the blood of Christ. But now that we've been brought near, God wants to draw us into that place of intimacy. And that place of intimacy, he starts to reveal just more and more and more. It just becomes clearer and clearer and clearer, his purpose for our lives. And then in that place of his purpose, God has always provided for his people. He's a good father. He always provides in line with his purpose. And so we really just, you know, the world chases things the wrong way around. You know, they're chasing provision first. And then, you know, people wake up maybe middle, you know, midlife crisis because, okay, what's my purpose? And then, you know, intimacy and relationship with God is a distant sort of, you know, is not even really sort of doesn't factor into people's thinking. And really God's drawing us back into a place of relationship and intimacy to reveal his purpose. He's just, he wants to deploy us at this time. He's wanting to ignite everything that he's created our lives for and to send us and to be his hands and his feet. Isn't that a wonderful thought that we are actually the body of Christ? That Jesus is literally the head and we are his body. You know, Jesus really needs his body to be functioning on the earth. He needs his hands and his feet going where he cannot go himself. He needs us to step into people's situations. He needs us to go into nations. He needs us to go into schools, into universities. He needs us to go into parliaments. He needs us to go into the hairdressing salons. He needs us to go into the economy. He needs us to go into every facet of life. And he needs to see an army that is ignited with a passion of God, with a fire of God, and seeing situations shifted because you and I are called to be the change makers on the earth. There is so much more that God has for us at this time, and we cannot settle for anything less than that. You know, there's a beautiful picture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, from verse 1 to 12, and it speaks about the river of God. And it sees, you know, the writer, you know, is Ezekiel, the prophet, is prophesying as the Spirit of God is leading him, and God shows him this river that flows out from the temple and takes him on a bit of a journey. And this river comes out from the temple and he leads him 1,000 cubits, and then he leads him across this river, and they cross through the river and it was ankle deep. And then he measures out another 1,000 cubits and then leads Ezekiel through the river, and now it's knee deep. So now 2,000 cubits away from the tabernacle. And then God then measures out another 1,000 cubits, takes Ezekiel in this vision through the river. The river is now waist deep. So the river is just getting deeper and deeper as it moves away from the tabernacle, and then measures out another 1,000 cubits, and then takes Ezekiel through the river again. And this time the river is too deep for Ezekiel to stand. And so he's just got to allow the river to take him where it wants to take him. He can't cross it any longer. He can't walk through it. It's not waist deep. It's over his head, and he's now in the river, and he's got to allow that river to take him where it wants to take him. And it's really, it's an analogy and it's a picture, because God is wanting us as his people to step into the fullness of the Spirit at this time. He's wanting to take us to places where we can't imagine with our natural minds. You know, the thoughts of God are much higher than our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. They're much higher than ours. God's plans for our lives are so much bigger and better than the plans that we have for our own lives. As we yield to Him, as we just submit to His leading, the leading of His Spirit, and just get into that river. That river is going to take us to some interesting places. But it speaks about that river. Wherever that river goes, every living thing lives. And that river brings healing. It speaks about on the sides of that river, there are trees that are lining the sides of that river. And those trees are really for the healing of people, for the healing of nations. It speaks about really, you know, when God often refers to us in Scripture as oaks of righteousness, people. And it speaks about this fruitfulness on the trees, our lives being fruitful. God's called us to be very, very fruitful. He wants us to be incredibly fruitful and for our fruit to remain, because that glorifies Him. He wants us to, that our hands, because it speaks about the leaves of the tree, and the leaves really represent our hands. He wants our hands to be productive. He wants our hands to be hands of healing. And God's healing power is going to be restored and reactivated on the earth in these times through His people in unprecedented ways. We're living in a time where the latter rain of God's Spirit is going to be greater than the former rain. You know, the book of Acts is still an unfolding book. We saw the Spirit of God poured out on that day of Pentecost. We saw that early church go out, signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of the gospel, following people as they went out. And God speaks about in the Scriptures that His latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. So we're going to see an even greater outpouring of signs, wonders, and miracles that are going to testify to the glory of God at this time. I just want to encourage you, you know, get ready. And it's not, you know, not just miracles of healing of people, you know, the sick being healed and the dead being raised up. It's marriages being restored. It's relationships being healed. It's businesses being started, ideas and dreams that have been squashed, being reignited. Those are miracles, those are signs, and those are wonders. God is a God of superabundance. He has so much in store for us, and He wants to see that unlocked, His multifaceted wisdom unlocked, released through the church at this time. His church is not organized religion. It's not in a building. It's not a denomination. His church is His called out people, those that are filled with His Spirit, those that are led by His Spirit, those that are walking with Him, those that are hearing His voice and responding to the voice of our Shepherd. That is His church. And He is building His church. And it speaks about in the Scriptures that He's going to build His church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. And it's interesting because in that scripture of Ezekiel 47 about the river and the Spirit of God is taking Ezekiel in this vision. Yeah, and he says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, have you seen?" In other words, there's this picture that God was wanting to give Ezekiel of this river, and now getting into it, and it's got to be taken by the river, and this healing river that's just going to move through the earth. And He says to Ezekiel, "Have you seen?" And it's an interesting thing because God, at the same time, you know, that He asks Ezekiel, "Have you seen?" And Ezekiel sat on the bank of the river, and he obviously pondered what he'd seen. And then he saw these trees on the side of the river, and he saw the healing goodness of God flowing and touching wherever it went. And God, at the same time, has got to get us into a place where He says to us, "Son of man, Scott, whoever it is, Tim, Doug, Rob, Pam, Heather," just trying to remember some more names out there, but he's saying to us, well, you know, "Have you seen?" Because I want to so encourage you, you know, we've got to see, not through our natural eyes, but the eyes of our hearts get awakened to see again. And when the eyes of our hearts are awakened to see, it's like God reveals His kingdom to us. It's a mystery. But He reveals it as He opens up the eyes of our understanding. And as He opens up the eyes of our understanding, we start to see things that we hadn't seen before. Revelation is seeing things that we hadn't seen before. And revelation leads to revolution. And a revolution happens when the status quo, when a group of people look at the status quo and say, no, the status quo cannot stay like that any longer. And there's a revolt and it's got to be overthrown. I want to encourage you. I'm looking around at so many situations and where it's like, this is just, it cannot continue like this. You know, I remember God giving me the analogy of that cartoon character, Popeye, a number of years ago. And you know, Popeye, you know, the sailor man, was a sort of a fun cartoon, and he had that wife or girlfriend, Olive Oil was her name. And, you know, every now and again, Olive Oil, you know, some raiding bandits or pirates would come and they would snatch Olive Oil away. And then, you know, you'd get Popeye and he'd open up a can of spinach and he would throw back a can of spinach and, you know, his muscles would pop out and he would have that famous saying, I can't stand this anymore. And I want to encourage you, what can you not stand anymore? What can I not stand anymore? What are those things that are breaking our hearts? God is wanting to burden us with what is burdening his heart. You know, so often we get so burdened in life with our own burdens that we cannot carry the burden of God. God wants to burden us with his burden, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he's anointed us to fulfill his purpose in our generation and then come to be with him. You know, when we're about God's plan and God's agenda, life is simple. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. And, you know, God wants us to live in that way. He wants us to live with simplicity, walking with him, hearing his voice, and responding to what it is that he is saying. I want to so encourage you today. You know, God has so much more for us. He has so much more for you. He has called you for such a time as this. He has raised you up for such a time as this. God is raising up an army, and he is equipping that army with everything that we will need. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. And he's sending us out to be his hands and his feet on the earth. So I want to encourage you. Don't look at the circumstances around you. Don't look at people. When I say don't look at people, I mean, I'm saying don't put your trust in people. Put your trust in God. You know, it speaks about in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, that as we keep our minds stayed on God, he keeps us in perfect peace. He's the only one that can keep us in perfect peace. And it's his peace that he's always promised, or he promised to give us. A famous passage of scripture in John 16, my peace I give to you. I leave. And in this world, you're going to have trouble, but I leave you with my peace. I don't give to you as the world gives. I leave you with my peace. It's the peace of God that transcends all human understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, keeps us, watches over us, enables us to live carefree lives, enables us to sleep well, enables us to get up, enables us to have excitement for the days that lie ahead. You know, these are the darkest of times on the earth, but these are the most exciting of times for the kingdom of God. Because when the darkness is darker, the light has got to shine brighter. In Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah the prophet says that deep darkness has covered the earth, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I want to really encourage you today. You are called by God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus does not want us on the back foot as Christians, you know, living small lives. God wants us on the front foot, living expansive lives, advancing in wisdom, advancing in every aspect of our lives, day upon day, year upon year. God wants us to take more and more ground for him. And I want to so encourage you, you know, when we're not advancing, what actually ends up happening without us realizing it is we're actually retreating and ground is being taken from us. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness can never coexist just together. The one has to take over the other. So I want to encourage you. God is awakening us at this time. God is going to be giving and igniting dreams in your heart and in mine. He is the great dreamer. But then he puts action to those dreams. And he does that in the hearts of his people. I want to so encourage you. God is going to be speaking to you. He's going to be giving you clarity in dreams, in vision. He's, the word of God is going to start to come alive in your heart like it never has before. You're going to start to see things that you've never seen before. And I want to encourage you, journal, write, get it down. Allow God to really minister to your heart and start to see, because the clearer you see what it is that God is saying, the faster the acceleration towards the plan and the purpose, the assignment that God has on your life. I want to so encourage you. God is not done with you. It doesn't matter how badly you think you've messed up, how ineffective you think you've been in the kingdom of God. Your best days lie ahead, and God is always looking to our future. He's always looking ahead down the road, and he's always, he's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. He's always drawing us into his heart and wanting us to live in his purpose. I want to so encourage you, as the days are dark and as there's so many things and so many noises around us, be still and know that he is God. Listen to the voice of your shepherd, because he's the shepherd of your soul. And he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day that Jesus Christ returns. As I said a bit earlier, he's coming back as the lion, and there is a roar that is starting to resound on the earth. It's the roar of his love. It's the roar of his justice. It's the roar of his righteousness. It's the roar of his healing, his restoration. And it's the roar of a king who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've never been so excited in my life. It is a time not just of revival. It is a time of revival that we're moving into, but it's a time of reformation. It's a time where the very root and foundations of what things are built on is going to be shaken. And everything that is shakable will be shaken, so that what is unshakable will remain. And so I want to encourage you, get your eyes on God and allow him to do what only he can do in your hearts at this time. I'm going to pray for us this morning. Let me do that as we close up with today's message. God bless as I pray. Please just now, maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you just want to still your heart. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you as I pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for what it is that you have spoken into the community of Crossways Church today and into every single individual life. Lord, I thank you for every single life. I thank you for your plan, your purpose, and your destiny. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be moving mightily in every single life, igniting and awakening the purpose for which you have created them, Father. I pray such a blessing, Father, over every single person. I pray a blessing over every marriage, God. I pray a blessing over every business that's represented. And Father, I thank you for every child. I pray for such wonderful unity in families, God. I pray for where there needs to be healing, God, that your healing balm is even this morning is just flowing, and it's touching people's lives in a powerful way. I pray right now, even as people are reaching out to you, God, their faith, extending their faith to you, that you are healing both physically, emotionally, spiritually, God, mentally, in every single way. Let your river of your healing, Father, flow this morning into people's lives, into their households, and let it move through them to touch a multitude around them. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a great privilege again to be with you this morning. It really, really has. I so look forward to connecting again next week. And I don't know, I'll be chatting with the guys, maybe even a further Sunday. But God bless you. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And I just trust that the Spirit of God will be ministering to you so powerfully in this week ahead. Cheers.